Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Last Full Measure with your host, Ted Hayes and Eric Johnson.
Shalom, I'm Eric Johnson here with Ted Hayes. Welcome. This is our 11th show of The Last Full Measure, a show dedicated to those who gave that last full measure, a show that discusses the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, and how they relate to us and what is happening today. Greetings, Ted. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing very good. You know, I want to give a shout-out to the capital, the eternal capital of Israel, Jerusalem. We say, Shalom, Shalom, peace in Jerusalem. That comes from Psalm 22, and it says in verse 6, pray for the peace, the shalom of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palace. For thy brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee, peace in Jerusalem. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good, Jerusalem. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. How about that?
That is incredible. That's exciting. Very, very exciting.
And Jerusalem shall be, Jesus said, Yahushua said, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down underfoot until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And thou shalt not see me henceforth till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of Hashem. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace upon Jerusalem. And by the way, Eric, our good friend, folks, Eric and I have a very good Jewish friend. He's Persian. He lives here in L.A., Beverly Hills. His name is Shai Abishur. Shai is in Jerusalem right now. And he's meeting with Moshe Kapinsky. You guys look up Moshe Kapinsky. He's a modern-day Hebrew prophet. Friend of mine. Blessings.
Wow.
Are you doing
that,
Eric?
Wow, I did not know that. I did not know he was going there. That's pretty cool. Wow. He's going to have to give us an update when he gets back.
Abelule.
Get him on the show and tell us what happened.
Abelule.
I think it would be a good idea. So, hey, you know, this has been a year of firsts for Israel. The fact that, did you hear what happened today?
What happened today? I heard something in the wind.
Yeah, the Crown Prince, Prince William of the UK, went to Israel. It is the first time for a royal member of the family to actually go and visit Israel.
Well, wait a minute. Didn't King Richard do that? King Richard Lionheart about 1600 years ago?
I'm talking after 48 when in 1948 when Israel became a nation.
Oh, plus he didn't go there with a sword either, did he, Prince William?
No, he did not. He went in peace and blessing.
King Richard went with a sword. The name of going to liberate Jerusalem apparently killed more Jews on the way to Jerusalem.
He did not get it right, did he?
Right? I'm sorry?
He didn't get that right, did he? He got that all messed up.
A bunch of them, man, for 1,800 years, man, people who say they believe in Jesus, Yahushua, they've been murdering Jews, man, for 1,800 years, persecuting them because they did not accept Jesus as Mashiach. So they felt, it's their duty to kill him. How about that?
And they're going to get to the other side, and they're going to find out that Jesus is a Jew.
Oops. King of the Jews, man.
Right. Oops is right, man. Oops, there it is. So what's going on, Ted? I guess you had an interesting morning.
Yeah.
You alive?
No.
No.
I had a root canal, one of two more to go, you know, so that was a little bit. But I'm okay now. I'm good. But but you were saying something about the Supreme Court earlier today.
Yes.
We were talking. That's kind of what's on everybody's mind all day in the news, isn't it? The Mr. Trump's travel ban.
Yes, the Supreme Court upheld it that the president can, his policy can be to do the travel ban. And it just, a lot of people were shocked. I didn't see that one coming. It's like, well, hello, president does have the right and the authority to do that, to protect this nation. That's what he did. And the Supreme Court upheld it.
I think
that's an exciting day.
It certainly is. It's a landmark day. And it tells that Muslim world out there that this president ain't playing with them. And if this president ain't playing with them, then the people behind him, behind the president, is not playing either, and we're going to back him all the way. And they haven't seen that in this country. They've seen the American people so mealy-mouthed and insecure that they've been pushing us around. And when Americans try to stand up to them, the president and our government chides with us for that, saying that we're anti-Muslim and, you know, this ain't America when you don't accept everybody. And, oh, my goodness, we fall for that stuff, man, you know?
Wow, it's just, and why, you know, why do we fall for that? But the interesting is I don't think we're falling for it anymore. I think the American people are waking up to the media and waking up to what the liberals are doing and going, you know what? We don't care what your polls say. We don't care what you say on the news. We don't care any of that because we're smart now. We've
That's
grown
right.
up and we recognize you guys are nothing but a bunch of liars.
That's right.
And so we wouldn't even worry about it. So now when they say something crazy about our president or some other conservative, we go, yeah, well, whatever, next. You know, it no longer carries any water. And what's interesting is the polling now is showing that the Democrats are even dropping further and further, what they call it, the ballot. They call it some sort of ballot deal. But now they're down by 2 points.
Wow.
Now, first it was there up by, like, I don't know, 20, some crazy number. Then it kept coming down. Then it was even. Now with all this going on with Maxine Waters, whoa.
That's really bad. You know, I like Maxine Waters, and I've made peace with her in my own heart. But the poor lady, I think she's kind of deranged, and she's very upset. And I think more than anything else, Maxine Waters is not pleased with herself. Just look at her face. You can see a face of getting up in the morning and looking in the mirror and going, oh, my gosh, it's you again. You know?
Well, bitterness goes straight to the face.
Yeah, it's hard to not. It's hard to not like yourself when you have that kind of a thing about yourself. So, poor lady. Some people saying that she may get prosecuted, may see 5 years for inciting riots or attempting to incite riots against government officials at that, and high level government officials at that.
She doesn't have immunity. She does not have immunity from saying certain things. She does when she's on the floor. She can say whatever she wants on the floor, but when she's outside, she's got to be careful what she says.
Well, her black skin gives her immunity, brother. You know that. You know, that's how it worked with Obama. That's how it's been working for the last 50-some years. All these socialist-oriented, tamed and trained black Democrats, so-called liberals, they have been using the skin color against white people in this country for the last 50 years, and has been very, very successful. And the most successful demonstration of the fact that these people have been using their skin color is the election of Barack Obama. White people were afraid to not vote for Barack Obama. Mitt Romney was afraid to stand up for him for what he was. And the only guy that dared to stand up to him on the birth certificate thing is now president of the United States. But apart from
that's
that,
right.
That's what I said the other week, man. White people, we got to get y'all out of this absorbing other people's guilt. You know, if these Muslims feel that this is such a racist, bigoted country, How come they're coming over here? I don't know no churches or synagogues in Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, or all of Pakistan. I know of none. There is no freedom of Jewish or Christian or Baha'i or Buddhist faith in them countries. Yet they're going to come over here and tell us what we can and cannot do and say to the United States, you have a constitutional right to invade our country? What?
Exactly. What?
But
14th Amendment.
Well,
how do you think that with all this going on with the travel ban affects or maybe even stems from the amendments? And even stem from it? What are your thoughts on that? The 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment?
They tend to use the 14th Amendment, the civil rights movement. As you know, the 14th Amendment is the first civil rights act of all succeeding acts. It is the granddaddy, the progenitor, the godfather, the foundation of the civil rights laws and the civil rights movements. And what has happened, thanks to people like Jesse Jackson, who turned so-called black citizens, or black citizens, into what we call the African Americans in the Rainbow Coalition. And he, using his black skin and the black features of us American black folks as a shield to say to brown people, yellow people, olive people, or what they call the people of color, minorities, meaning LGBTs and sexual identification. One day a boy is just biologically a boy, next day he is in his mind a girl, vice versa. He did that to us, and they used the 14th Amendment, equal justice under the law. And they presume that because they are colored people, like the black people, that they are the African Americans, or they're a minority like the African Americans, they too have a right to that kind of special privilege that was granted only to the chattel slaves.
You know, what's interesting about that is that the Indians at the time didn't have that. There had to be a separate just for them.
That's
afterwards, there had to be one for them. So the fact that they're saying, well, it's for everybody, it's like, well, wait a minute. If it was for everybody, why didn't it apply to the Indians also?
That's proof positive, isn't it, Eric? Proof positive, you know. And what I'm gathering from the so-called people on the left, don't misunderstand me, folks. I am not against leftists. I am not against Democrats. You have a right to be a loyal opposition in your country. That is your duty. There's things in this country about this country I do not like. For example, homelessness, okay? I criticize my government. I am the loyal opposition to my government, not to hurt my government or the people within, but to help them to do better and to obey our Constitution. But these people that you've been seeing on television and so forth, these commentators and entertainers, they have been poisoned by the infiltration of the socialists, which comes out of Germany and Eastern Europe. That movement goes from generation to generation, and they've had America in mind for quite a while to destroy us. And that's the element that I'm concerned about more than anything else. That's as far as the invaders go. Our own people being intoxicated with a false doctrine. That's why I think that if I get my way, if God blesses me, one thing I'm going to lobby for is that we've never defined what a domestic enemy is. We know what a foreign enemy is. I think we know what a foreign enemy is. But the domestic enemy, it's hard for us to tell because they speak English in the various accents. They look like us. They listen to the same music we listen to. But when you hear them speak and they talk about having our borders open to anybody who wants to come here, when you hear them speak saying we don't have a right to vet people from countries that hate us who are coming here, you have to think these people are deliberately trying to create chaos in this country. They have an agenda. And therefore, and when they attack the president, if they attack us and our flag, therefore, they should be deemed domestic terrorists giving aid and abetment to the enemy, and they should be arrested, prosecuted, and if found guilty, severely punished.
You know, that is a very interesting thought, that that has not been defined. What is domestic terrorist? What
Never.
Is a... That has not been... There is no definition. It hasn't
it's
been
not.
Delineated yet. And that is a very interesting topic.
Yes, sir. And, Eric, we're going to push that because we have to have that conversation because people come up in our country and the first thing they'll say, well, that's un-American. Or they'll say... This is not, we're losing our democracy. Things like that, that's not American talk. We're not a democracy. We're not a democracy, ladies and gentlemen. Go to Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution, and it says that we are a republic, representative government. And there's certain things that republic requires of its people. And people
right.
come to our country, and they don't really know our history and know our Constitution. It's like that Muslim man doing a Democratic convention, the so-called five-star family guy. And he gets up there. He was an agent as far as I'm concerned. And he takes out his little Bible, his little copy of the Constitution. And he says, Donald Trump does not know or understand the Constitution. Meaning that Muslims have a right to come into our country without being vetted, because the Muslim religion believes that they are superior, made so by Allah. And that's why you can't get a Christian or a synagogue or your church into Arab Muslim countries, because they feel that what we believe is inferior to them. They don't come here to amalgamate with America. They come here to conquer America. And we got enemies like that guy Keith Nelson up there in Detroit, where Muslims pray five times a day in this one particular town on loudspeakers. If a Christian tried that, you'd go to jail. You'd be fine, but Muslims could do that. They can get out in the middle of the street during the times of prayer and stop traffic. If a Christian goes to a Muslim event, they attack them. You see, he is an enemy. He's a domestic enemy. He's a Muslim. He's aiding and abetting.
They are sworn. There is an oath that the elected takes to protect against foreign and domestic enemies. Well, foreign and domestic. And this whole concept, I think you're absolutely right. The definition has not been determined of what a domestic enemy is. And maybe it's time that discussion happens. Maybe it's time to start thinking, what is a domestic enemy?
Right.
This is it's just interesting to watch that nobody's an enemy. As long as if you're within our borders, you're not an enemy. Wait, what?
Listen to this, folks. I do solemnly swear, and this particular oath of office that we have today, that congressional people swear to, and I think the vice president as well. The president's his oath is not as detailed, but it's still the same thing. And this was brought out post the Civil War, as part of the Reconstruction, and they recognized that they needed a stronger pledge of allegiance to stop the reinfiltration of the angry, racist Southerners who wanted to, you know, destroy black folks. And so this is really a 14th Amendment oath of office that Congress people swear to every day and they don't have a clue. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. But look at this, though, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same Constitution, that I take this obligation freely, voluntarily, without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion. And when you listen to the arguments for allowing these people to come into our country without being vetted, when you listen to the arguments that children whose parents put them into child endangerment by making them border criminals, international border criminals, and when we separate them All that they can talk about is emotion. These people travel a long way. They come from gang violence and bad economy. They're refugees. Take them in. And the Muslim men, we're coming from oppressed regimes. We want to be not one discussion about the Constitution, and our Republican leaders, so-called, are sitting there with their mouths shut, and I have not heard them once quote anything from the Constitution, where it says in Article 4, Section 4, the President of the United States is supposed to stop any and all invasions. And when someone crosses someone's border without being properly vetted, without being invited in, that is an invasion and an occupation, and if necessary, to be dealt with by the United States military according to the 14th Amendment and the Civil Rights Act of 1866, Section 5 and Section 9. I know what I'm talking about, man.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And they.
But Eric,
and
what,
I think that's why Americans really like this president. He's dealing with a swamp, and he's trudging through the swamp, trying to drain it at the same time and push that agenda. Of course, it took almost 2 years for the Supreme Court to say, no, the president can do this.
Right, because
it's unfortunate. It'd be nice if things moved faster, but
that's because they were vacillating with their emotions. When you heard Sotomayor's response, the first thing she hollered, "You're being prejudiced against the Muslims," and the dog does not even mention the Muslims.
No,
they
it does
have
not.
Heads. The law was saying we are going to vet anyone from countries who are a threat to us. They didn't say Muslims. He changed the language. But they're stuck on that because they have no constitutional. The Constitution belongs to the citizens of the United States. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution and its states.
We the people of the United States, not we the people of Mexico, Honduras, Nicaragua.
Or the world,
you know,
for that matter.
Yeah.
You see, I believe, folks, the reason, and thank God that he sent us Donald Cyrus Trump, okay? This is a biblical figure, folks. I don't know if you follow biblical figures in the Bible and read the signs of the times and so forth, but this man is like a biblical figure. He is a biblical figure, just not written. Maybe he is written in the Bible. I don't know. But the point is, he is creating courage in the rank and file of the American people. He is saying it's time for us to stand up for the country that God has given us. Stop being politically correct. Speak your mind. If people get offended, that is their problem, not yours. Just don't you get offended when they say things to you, particularly things that are not true.
Amen. Amen. If you don't like what I say, here's a quarter. Call someone who cares.
What's that you say?
I said, if you don't like what I say, here's a quarter. Call somebody who cares.
You know what? In the 60s, I used to hate that old saying, America, love it or leave it. You know, we hippies, we thought we were smart, right? America, love it or leave it. We thought that was so hip and so cool. Now I realize, I'm sorry, they will say to us, they will say to us, America, love it or leave it. And I hated that term as a hippie, you know. But now, as I've grown up and learned, you know what? I love that term. Hey, America, love it or leave it. When I say love it, that doesn't mean that you turn the blind eye to bad things that we do or things that we need to rectify. If you love somebody, you don't condemn them and throw them out. You put your hands on them. You work with them. You take patience with them, and you do everything you can. If necessary, you give your life. A greater love has no man for another, but that they lay down their life for their brother. So we do that. And now, if God ever blesses me, I'm going to go and create a fund, in a trust fund. I'm going to find a worthy bank. I'm going to work with a couple airlines. And when I come across people in my travels who say, man, America, blah, 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 I say, you know what, man? Love it or leave it. In fact, I tell you what, I got a ticket waiting just for you.
Well, you got to make sure it's a country you can send them to that the country won't send them back, because you stay in a country too long, they'll kick you back.
That's exactly true. That's why I'm going to give them a one-way ticket. I'm going to give them enough money to eat on the airplane, but I'm not giving them no spending cash to get off the plane, because that country is going to take care of them. That country is going to give them respect and dignity and freedom, and they're going to be liberated from mean old nasty racist Nazi America. You know how many people are going to take me up on that? Zero.
Because they know they're going to get there and go, oops.
Oops.
Because it ain't going to happen.
You know, a bully will pick on a bully, a punk bully, a little punk-ass bully, excuse my language, will pick on a big guy that's nice. The big guy's a nice guy, man, and, you know, he could do damage if he wanted to, but for some reason he just got this complex. So the little bully keeps picking on him. And the only reason the little bully picks on him, because he knows this gentle giant is a nice guy. But that same little bully won't pick on the other cat across the street, because the other cat will wear him out. But he'll pick on this nice guy, right? Well, that's America, folks. We're like Baby Huey. You ever see the cartoon Baby Huey? Baby Huey's a great big old fat. Look him up, y'all. Baby Huey. His big old powerful duck is really a dumb duck, right? And he doesn't know nothing. He's a baby in a diaper, right? And this wily fox always trying to kill the baby and eat him, but the baby's indestructible. Then finally, Baby Huey wakes up and realizes, hey, you're the fox, and you're trying to eat me, and Baby Huey destroys the fox. Well, that's America. And as long as we are Baby Huey and willfully naive because we don't respect what those 740,000 innocent young white boys who gave the last full measure for our freedom, because we don't embrace them and we don't hold up their honor, other people recognize that we deny our heart, therefore we ain't got no heart, and they push us around. We have got to stop that. The only way we're going to stop that, my white brothers and sisters, is y'all got to understand who them 740,000 boys was. Whether you're from the north, it was for the north, or you're from the south, it was for the south. It is time now that we honor both of those young men out there, and we stand for the country they gave their lives for. We'd better not lose this country on our watch. It better not happen.
No, it's interesting to see all the developments that are happening today and have happened in the last few weeks and last several months. And, well, that is our show for today.
Oh, it is.
Be sure to, yeah, it is. We're coming up, man. That's the show.
Wow.
We got to close this out, man.
Gotta make another point, Eric. Come on.
We got 30. We're down to it, man. I got to close the show out to get our close deal. But listen, folks, check back next week as we continue our discussion of those who gave the last full measure. Shalom in Jerusalem.
Shalom, shalom.
Well, that concludes tonight's broadcast of The Last Full Measure. Make sure you tune back in next Tuesday night to hear the latest from Eric and Ted as they discuss the issues that face a divided America.